she was 18, her father gave her the advice she needed to follow her dreams and become a writer. The next day, he had a heart attack and died in her arms. She did become a writer and a business owner and then a wife and mother. Today, after 13 books, a million of them in print, she's an award-winning syndicated columnist, a radio and TV host, and the owner of two successful companies. And now, Elise is here to help you rebuild your life. Stay tuned. This is gonna be good. This is the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Elise Glink Show 2014 edition here on News Talk WSB, where we are rebuilding America one house at a time, and we're always starting with yours. The number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Welcome to 2014, the good, the bad, and still for some people, the ugly, and for sure, the freezing cold. I am up in Chicago today broadcasting to you, and I'm telling you, I haven't seen temperatures like this in maybe 40 years. Maybe a little bit less, maybe 30 years. I think that we're about to have the coldest 2 days in Chicago, I don't know, since 1985 or maybe even 1979. I mean, we're talking a really long time ago. And the temperatures, just, I want you to feel warm and cozy. As cold and awful as it's about to be in Atlanta this week, with snow and ice and temperatures down into the single digits, I think, on Tuesday, crazy. The high today, the high low today in Chicago is going to end up at something like minus 10 degrees. It's really insane. And tomorrow, our high is going to be something like minus 10 or minus 12, and the low is going to be minus 18, with wind chills somewhere in the minus 40 to minus 50 degree range. So, that said, I'm awfully glad I'm coming back to Atlanta on Tuesday, where minus 6 and 28 and some snow seems downright sunny. In fact, maybe I'll wear shorts. I don't know. We have all the weather information, traffic information that you're going to need this week here on News Talk WSB, and I want to make sure you tune in for that throughout the day, because when it gets cold and icy, do you remember a couple of years ago when basically everybody got trapped in their houses for 5 days? That was some crazy ice storm. It could happen again, and we've got all the latest weather and traffic for you here on News Talk WSB. All right, let's dig in. There is so much to talk about this year. We have had changes in the tax code that I think will benefit you. We talked again about taxes just at the end of the year. We're now in a new year. I want to talk about New Year's resolutions that you can make and what you are already making. So we definitely want to hear from you. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. If you'd like me to pay for the call, happy to do that if you're calling from around the world. We are on Twitter, at Glink. G-L-I-N-K. Would love to hear from you there as well. If you haven't signed up for my free weekly newsletter, you are missing the boat. We've got all kinds of cool stuff happening this year at thinklink.com. So sign up. You can sign up at ThinkLink on any page of the website. And you can just also let me know at Twitter that you're interested, and I can absolutely get that for you as well. So what are some things you need to think about this year if you are going to be redoing anything in your finances? Rebuilding your financial house starts with making smart decisions on the very first day. So here we are, January 5th. It's the first Sunday. Everybody's just coming back from break. You've got the bills that are just going to start to come in from Christmas. From what I hear, it wasn't like everybody went out and spent every last dollar, which is great. It's great. It's really smart to think about how you're going to pay a bill before you actually go out and engender that bill. So if you did not go out and break the bank this Christmas, good for you. But if you did and you're wondering what to do, it's time to take a realistic, hard look assessment of where you are with your money this year. Couple of things to give you a little bit of perspective. One is that the unemployment benefits, the extended unemployment benefits, were ended at the end of the year. And for over a million people, that money that has been a lifeline has disappeared. So if that's you or somebody that you know, you're already thinking about what you're going to be able to do to make those numbers work. And that's hugely important. If, on the other hand, you've got a job, which is great, but you're not making as much money as you were even 5 years ago, and truly, pay has not even kept up with the rate of inflation, so it's entirely possible that you are just not doing as well financially, even if you have a job. Or maybe you got a job, but you had to take a job for less money. All of those things have been happening to your neighbors, your family members, your colleagues, your friends. And even those of you who have jobs, your raises not keeping track, promotions not necessarily as high or as robust as they were. Maybe your bonuses came in and they were a little bit under what you had been expecting. All of these things are going to affect you deep inside your pocketbook this year. So what are you going to do about that? What are the strategies that you have for coping? How are you going to save more, spend less, and in the words of Clark Howard, avoid getting ripped off? So what I thought we'd do today is talk about my favorite ways to think about money and my favorite ways when I feel like I'm spending a little bit too much to help me rein it back in. So I want to do that, and I want to hear from you on your favorite ways to save money as well. Also taking your real estate calls this year, there were some, I was waiting, hoping, praying for the end of the year that they were going to extend through 2015 the law that says that you are not responsible for the phantom income tax if you had a foreclosure or a short sale and you had a deficiency. I did not see that that got extended. So if that was you and you're in a situation where you're trying to do a short sale, you could have an extra kick in the pants April 15th or a year from April 15th, depending on when you sell. So all of that on the docket for today. All right, let me give you the number again. Lines are wide open. Happy to take your calls and talk to you this new year. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Favorite ways to save money. So a couple of years ago, we were doing the same kind of a show, and somebody called in and said, you know, I really love to eat out. Love to eat out. Love to go out. We go out a couple of times a week, but it was clearly getting to be too much money. And we were certainly unable to continue spending the way we were spending. But we still wanted to eat out and have those experiences with our family members. So what we did is we instituted a no-drink rule. No drinks for kids, no drinks for adults. Everybody's going to just drink water. So we could still go out and have the experience of being in the restaurant, but we weren't going to have drinks. And this woman told me that the big surprise, the huge surprise that she had, is that she was able to cut her food bills by a third. By a third. So that totally makes sense, right? Because a third is, let's think about that. You know, you get sodas for the kids. You have two kids. They get a soda. Maybe it's $2 a piece or $3 a piece. You get a drink, alcoholic drink. Beer is maybe $5 or $8 a piece. If you're in a little bit of a nicer restaurant, maybe it's a little more, maybe a little less. You get a mixed drink, cocktail kind of a drink, and that could be $8 to $12 to $15 a piece. So without even thinking about it, and then maybe everybody gets coffee or cappuccino for $3 or $4 at the end. So at the end of the dinner, you could wind up with spending $40, $50, including tax and tip, just on the drink portion of the dinner. It's a great profit driver for the restaurant, no doubt. But for you, you're easily spending a third of the total amount that you go out on your drinks. And I thought about that recently because I thought, you know, that's really true. I've been looking at different bills, you know, food bills that we had had, and thinking, oh, wow, that, you know, if we just didn't have a drink there, if we didn't have any coffees at the end of the meal, that's an easy $50 save. Well, if you go out four times a month, that's $200 a month or $2,400 a year. If you go out twice a week, you can start to see how the real numbers add up. So this woman who called in said, I was easily able to save $10,000 a year. $10,000 a year simply by eliminating drinks at our meals that we ate out. $10,000 a year. And how do you do that? It's $50 a week right? $200 a month gets you $2,400. So if you're eating out four times a week, not having drinks could be, especially if you're big drinkers, $10,000 saved. I gotta say, if you're looking for easy ways to save money, that may be at the top of my list. So I want to hear from you as well. 404-872-0750. What are some of your favorite ways to save? That's my favorite one that I have heard so far on the show in all these years, 15 years plus of doing this show and having everybody call in and say, this is my favorite way to save. I think that might be my number one way, but I am open to changing my mind. And I want to hear from you. 404-872-0750. We're also going to take your questions about money, real estate, finances, yours, mine, the world's economy, whatever you like here on News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glenk. Stay tuned. We are going to rebuild America this year on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglenk.com and find Elise Glenk live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750 News Talk WSB.
Wait till I saw.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glenk Show 2014 style, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We are talking about saving money and would love to hear how you save money. Vanessa joins me online now. Hey, Vanessa, welcome to the Elise Glenk Show.
Oh, hey, Elise. I really enjoy your show, and I try to tune in every Sunday listeners. How I've been able to save maybe $1,500 to $2,500 a year.
All right.
And it helps me stay in shape, too. I live on a mountain up in Cherokee County, and I've got, like, a 2,000-square-foot home with two furnaces. It's all electric. I do have a wood-burning stove, and I decided to start utilizing wood more in my wood-burning stove, and so usually I have a tree that comes down, or my neighbors do. And I collect all the disc of cut firewood. I collect it all year long. And if I don't have enough, people usually want to get rid of firewood, and so they'll put a posting online, like if they have a tree cut down. And once I get enough wood for the winter, I rent a log splitter from an individual up here at a very reasonable price. $35 a day.
It's pretty reasonable.
I split the wood. It's not a hard job. I'm a lady in my 50s.
Wow. So you stay in shape, and you're saving all the money that you would spend having cords of wood, and you're saving money on your electricity.
Exactly. And so with this inclement weather coming up, I am very prepared for it.
And you'll probably stay extra warm because you're out there working hard.
Exactly. And so I don't know, some of your other listeners might want to think about it. I have relatives that live in Decatur and Atlanta, and during the holidays I was able to take them like a Christmas present of a truck of firewood for their backyard furnaces and fire pits and things. So that was nice too.
Well, I have to tell you that given the weather, the inclement weather that's coming this way, I think that your idea is just terrific. And I'm so glad that you've been able to quantify it and you understand exactly how much you're saving. But I think that all these other benefits that you can't just attach money to, say, how many calories you burn by hauling around wood, how much better shape you're getting into. I mean, I think all of that plays into it as well. It's a nice little holistic package you've created, Vanessa. Good for you.
Well, thank you, and I look forward to hearing from your other listeners and getting some additional ideas.
Sounds good. I do as well. Thanks so much. Have a happy new year, Vanessa.
You too, Elise.
Thank you. 26 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. I'm the Elise Glenk Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. We have just a minute left. I want to start the call with Karen. I don't think we're going to get all the way through. Karen, welcome to the Elise Glenk Show.
Hey, thank you so much.
So do you have a favorite way of saving money over the years?
You know what? The main reason I'm calling quickly, since the time is short, I'm sorry I can't contribute in that area. I have a daughter who's an aspiring actress. She's 23, and she has saved over $6,000. And I'm wondering what you would recommend as the best way for her to invest, whether a Roth or a REIT or a Vanguard or stocks.
So your answer is going to take a little bit of extra time. So you want to hold on with me through the break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about it, because just the question of whether she should invest in an IRA or stocks lets me understand that you're not exactly clear on which is the best way for her to go, and she's probably not clear. So what I want to do is start this year off right and give everybody just a little bit of a tutorial on how I see the world for savings. But before we go to break, I just want to say your daughter's 23 years old, wants to be an actress, and has already saved $7,000. Good for her. 27 minutes past the hour. I'll be back in a few minutes with Karen here on News Talk WSB. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Kling Show, Rebuilding America One House at a Time, starting with yours in 2014 on News Talk WSB, the number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Before we get back to Karen, I just want to remind you, I'm online, Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. The website, thinklink.com. We have all kinds of cool stuff happening at thinklink.com, including on Thursdays. In addition to our Monday newsletter, we're now doing a Thursday news update. All of that is free if you sign up for the newsletter, the weekly newsletter. You also get this news alert on Thursdays that I think you're going to find very, very interesting. It's information you cannot get anywhere else, only at the thinklink.com newsletters, and we want you to have it. It's completely free. Just sign up today at thinklink.com. And I also want to remind you that we have really cold weather just going to stay around well into tonight and into tomorrow morning. You need to be prepared with our WSB Storm Center coverage. So stay tuned, especially tomorrow morning with Scott Slade in Atlantis Morning News. Captain Herb is going to be there. Kirk Mellish, Scott, we've got it all covered. Depend on it here on News Talk WSB. All right, we were talking with Karen just before we had the break, and her daughter is 23 years old, and she wants to be an actress. She's already got $7,000 saved in cash, which, Karen, is absolutely amazing. Now,
she's a hard worker.
Listen, I mean, but she wants to break into this most difficult field. I think acting has got to be the toughest thing that anybody could ever even try to do. So, you know, kudos to her for having the courage to take that on. That's already something that's pretty extraordinary. And then she's been able to save at a very young age a lot of money. So is this cash that she has in addition to her emergency savings? Is she living at home? Is she living away? Tell me a little bit more about what she's doing.
Okay, she's living with roommates in a very inexpensive apartment, but a safe area of town, so saving a lot of money with rent. So she's completely on her own and very frugal in her spending. So that's her situation, and she's living in California.
Okay, so she has enough cash for emergency savings. Something goes wrong with the car, you know, whatever that she needs, she's got enough of a backup in addition to the $7,000, correct?
Yes.
Great. Mm-hmm. So then is she self-employed or is she working full-time for somebody?
She has, it's the typical where you start off. She has several part-time jobs, quite a few, and while she auditions and continues to build up her resume vitae, she has yet to have a paid acting role, but that looks like it will be in the next couple of weeks. So she's just getting started in the field.
Well, that's great. So what I was trying to get at is she eligible for any of her employer's retirement plans? And it sounds like as a part-time person, she does not.
No, she's not.
Okay, and you're covering her on your health insurance, so she doesn't have to worry about that expense. Great.
Yes.
So what I think she might want to do is open up a self-employed 401k plan.
Okay.
And she can do this at you know, anywhere she wants, because she is self-employed. It sounds like she's getting W-2s, but it's part-time everywhere. So she ought to be able to be eligible for a self-employed 401k. Or if not, she can open up a conventional IRA. And the conventional IRA, she can put in thousands of dollars, which is fantastic. She can also open up, in addition to that, because that's tax-deferred money. Tax-deductible, tax-deferred. It'll lower her taxes for April 15th, but it'll also defer any taxes that she pays on the money. So that she wants to put away money in a like an IRA. But she's also eligible for a Roth IRA. So she's got $7,000. The first chunk of it should be to the IRA, and the next chunk should be to a Roth IRA. Once she's got that, and that'll take care of her $7,000. In fact, if she had up to $10,000, maybe it's even $11,000. I have to check the latest amounts for 2014. She could plow all of that money away in those two accounts. And then the next question is, where do you do it? Well, I like to do it at a place like Vanguard or Fidelity, where you've got have super low-cost index funds. Because she can be fully diversified, and this is going to your next question, fully diversified with just a couple of really low-cost index funds. And that's really what you want to do. You want to be fully diversified, very low-cost. Now, she's so young, she's not going to touch this money for maybe 40 or 50 years. I know it's hard for her to even think about that.
Okay.
But she's not going to think about, she's not going to touch it for a long time. So since she's not going to touch it, what she wants to do is plow the money into index funds. And because of her age and because of how long she has to go, I would recommend, and I only do this for super young people, 100% of her money right now should go into a total stock market index fund. Now, normally I'd say you ought to diversify, but right now she's got so many years to go. So people who are in their 20s and even early 30s, they're not going to touch that money for 30, 40 years. You've got the time to ride out anything that's going to happen in the stock market. You truly do.
All right.
So that's what I would do for her. So if she goes to Vanguard, Vanguard has a total stock market index fund. I think it charges a tenth of a percent a year, maybe slightly above that. And Fidelity also has a total stock index fund, and it charges, again, the same kind of a thing. If she wants to do a little bit of diversification, what she ought to do for the next couple of years, because this is good advice that's going to stand her in good stead for at least the next 5 years, she could put half of the money into the, or 60% into a total stock market fund, and that's U.S. companies primarily, but they have investments abroad. And then she might want to do a foreign index fund that invests in companies all over the world. So she's fully diversified. She'll probably own, within the two index funds, maybe as many as 5,000 or 8,000 companies. So she's certainly diversified in terms of companies. But she's got this nice mix between U.S. companies and international companies. And your daughter is a member of the millennial generation. This is a generation that are children of the world. Their life experiences are going to be international in a way that ours maybe only is a little bit today. But their world is going to be very flat. And so to invest around the world, is, and she'll probably visit many more places around the world than you've had the chance to or that I've had the chance to. I know my kids, even as young as they are, have already been to not more places than I've been, but way more than I went to before I was even in, like, 40. And they're now, they're 18 and 16. So it's really a different world. So that's what I recommend for young people who are managing to save in their 20s. Now, the only reason that this might change, right, that this situation would change is if she decides to make a go of it out there and buy a house, gets married, there's some other life change. She decides to give up her dream of being an acting and she's going to do something else, or she's going to be a writer, and she needs more cash on hand. And if that's the case, she should just pull back on her investments. But I will tell you that even this $7,000 invested today, if she invests no more until, even till she's 65, it's just the $7,000 or $10,000 invested at age 23. If she lets it grow, at just what's been going on for the last 100 years, right? It grows at an average rate of 7% a year.
Okay.
That money is going to be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars by the time she retires.
Okay.
It's stunning how this works, but I promise you it's really true. Every 10 years, that money, or even more or less, will double, and it'll continue to do that over time, and it's just, there's nothing else to even say about it. You know, plow that money away, and you're going to end up with just a lot of money at the end of your life.
I cannot tell you what a huge help you have been.
Thank you, Karen. It's always nice to start out my year hearing that I'm actually able to help somebody. So good for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And the very best of New Year's to you.
Thank you. And thanks for listening. And good luck to your daughter. I love hearing stories about young people who are empowered to follow their dreams. I think there's nothing better. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We are rebuilding America, one house at a time. Let's go to William. William's on the line from Lilburn. Hi, William. How do you save money? What's your favorite way?
Hi, Elise. The best way that I figured out how to save money is to take every single dollar bill that I ever get from a cashier and put it in a little box. And at the end of the year, I open that box and I count it out. And I use that for my Christmas presents for my family. And let's say, like last year, I had, $2,200 in singles that I had saved.
Wow.
Yeah. And what I do is I assign a dollar amount for every single person in my family. And I have a cap of $500. So I had seven people to buy for $500. I was able to buy everyone right around a $45 present. Now, with the remaining money, what I do is I invest the rest of that into my Roth IRA. And I max out my Roth IRA that way. And, I've been doing this since I was 18. I'm 27 now, and I've got roughly $22,000 in my Roth IRA that I've invested. And actually, I had a pretty good year this year with my return. So hopefully when I get my statements back from Vanguard, I'll have a little bit more than that in my into my Roth.
All right. I just have to give you a huge yahoo because, William, that is so smart on so many different levels. And the best thing of all is you've just shown everybody who's listening at home not only just the value of compounding, but how one really smart move leads to another smart move to another smart move. You've made like three or four really smart moves. You put away singles, you never miss them. You assign it, you say you're going to use it for Christmas presents, but you've got a cap on the Christmas presents. Most people don't even cap it. They would spend all of $2,200. You cap it, so you're still able to buy. You limit the number of people you're buying for, so you're spending a decent amount of money per person. You invest the rest, and you're obviously investing smartly because at 27, you've been putting money away in a Roth IRA since what? You were 21?
Since I was 18.
Since you were 18. So you've had 9 years, and you've got somewhere north of $22,000 in that Roth IRA. So not only are you doing all of that, you're obviously investing correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
and I have
you.
My 401k through my work, too, so that's another. I've only been working for full-time for 2 years, so, and they've been matching at 6%, and I've just been very fortunate to be able to save this money.
Well, you absolutely are. Now, do you own a house? What's your next plan?
My next plan is actually to start investing in rental properties. I'm going to take the money that I've saved and start buying foreclosures and start flipping those houses and start either renting or selling those foreclosures in the Northeast Georgia area.
I love that. Absolutely love that. And I'll tell you what, you're doing such an amazing job. I want to give you a gift.
Okay.
So here's the gift. I want you to send me an email at questions@thinklink.com and tell me your name. And what I will do is I will send you a code for a free download of my new investing in real estate series. It's called The Intentional Investor, How to Be Wildly Successful in Real Estate. It's 9 videos and 9 ebooks.
Okay.
All in one. I think we charge somewhere around $300 for it, and I'm going to give it to you because I think you're doing such an amazing job that I want to help you get onto this next step of your life, and I think you're going to be wildly successful at it, and I'm delighted to participate.
Thank you.
So send me that email to questions@thinklink.com, and we will send you a code later this week, and you'll be able to download it all.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck, and thanks for sharing. It is 49 minutes past the hour on the Elise Kling Show, Rebuilding America, One House at a Time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB.
I'm trying.
Welcome back to the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, One House at a Time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. Our number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online all the time at Glink on Twitter, at GLINK. Follow me, sign up for the free weekly newsletter, and get our Thursday new news alerts. Really big stuff. I got a couple of tweets just a moment ago for about the Intentional Investor series. So this is my new series, the Intentional Investor video and ebook. And somebody said, well, how do I get a discount on that? And I said, well, no problem. Let me just give everybody a New Year's discount. If you go to thinkglinkstore.com, this is where you buy it, and there were a whole bunch of people who bought it over the holiday season. So I think people are really gearing up for this last push of buying investment properties. But if you go to thinkglinkstore.com, that's our store, it'll pop right up, the Intentional Investor Complete Series, video and ebook. It retails for $358 or $359. I have a 25% discount code. Good on anything at the store. If you want the complete series, you just want a video, want one ebook, you just want the series of ebooks, there are a whole bunch of different ways to get this information. Use the code WSB. That's all you have to put in. WSB, it'll give you 25% off of anything. 25% off discount of anything you want to get at the ThinkGlink store. So go to thinkglinkstore.com and you can get that discount on anything. Absolutely. And I'm sure it will help you. I've been hearing from people who are starting to use the series, both the ebooks and the ebooks and videos, and they're finding it to be incredibly helpful. Somebody wrote me and said, it's just like having you on my computer screen, but all the time. So if that helps, if that sounds like something you want, then go to thinklinkstore.com. Use the discount code WSB, get 25% off, and let me know how it works for you. All right, let's go back to a call, 404-872-0750. Mike joins me on the line. Hey, Mike from Stone Mountain. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Elise. Thanks. You know, it's such a pleasure to be able to turn to you for advice. And talking about building one house at a time, my father passed away 5 years ago, and he and I had a joint ownership on my home that I'm currently living in. It was set up as a 95.5%, mm-hmm. but unfortunately when he died, no one could locate the document that said that it was a 95.5%. So, of course, the probate automatically defaulted it to 50-50. He, my sister, and my uncle and I co-owned some rental property, which we just closed on Friday. So I now am in the position where I can purchase my half of the house from the estate. And I'm just wondering, are there any tax disadvantages to doing that right now? I know that I'm going to be hit with capital gains tax, but half of what I have gotten from the sale will cover purchasing my half of the house from the bank. And then, of course, I would still have the remainder to use for capital gains if I needed to.
Well, you shouldn't owe any capital gains taxes on a purchase. Right? So that would be when you ultimately sold the house.
Well, no, the sale was on rental property that was not affiliated with the house. It was some rental property that we all had together.
Right. So did you end up, you didn't do a 1031 tax-free exchange. You just sold it and took the cash. So,
well, we're waiting to get the cash, but yes.
All right. So let's back up just a little bit.
Okay.
You inherited the properties, the one that you just sold, the co-property. You inherited your dad's share of that?
No, unfortunately, it was tenants in common and not right to survivorship, so that's why it came out as a 50-50.
Okay, but with the rental properties that you just sold, so you, your sister...
We have four equal partnerships, so basically I'm getting my share of the partnership from the sale. It wasn't an inheritance.
Right.
It was an outright partial ownership that I had.
Got it. So you... Yes, the answer is yes, you will owe capital gains.
Right.
I don't know how much. And you should and you should certainly put it away. You should certainly talk to a tax preparer to make sure that you understand fully and what your costs will be, because it's not just the capital gains, but if you depreciated the property, you're going to owe recapture as well. So I want to make sure that you're protected for that. And then you'll be able to see what else you have left so that you can then make that purchase. But it's really, I think, a tax preparer, somebody who really understands the estate tax issues, is the very first thing that you should do so that you can can really prepare well for it. But remember, it's not just capital gains when you sell investment property. It is the recapture that can kill you as well. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment with more of the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, One House at a Time, on News Talk WSB.
When she was 18, her father gave her the advice she needed to follow her dreams and become a writer. The next day, he had a heart attack and died in her arms. She did become a writer and a business owner and then a wife and mother. Today, after 13 books, a million of them in print, she's an award-winning syndicated columnist, a radio and TV host, and the owner of two successful companies. And now, Elise is here to help you rebuild your life. Stay tuned. This is gonna be good. This is the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Those are the phone numbers. I am here. There are lines open. I want to hear from you this year, 2014. If you've sat on the sidelines and listened to this show for 15-plus years and never called in, this is going to be the year you call in and get the advice you need to kickstart whatever project you're trying to do, whether it's rebuilding your house financially, emotionally, or just the real thing, you know, putting a new roof on. Or if you've got something else in mind, I am more than happy to help. So here's how to find me, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K on Twitter. And you can find me on my website, thinkglink.com, where we have just introduced the new Thursday news alerts, where you'll get information you can't find anywhere else about all the stuff that goes on. And I picked Thursdays because Thursdays are the day that all the big news gets released, right? I'm not on the air with you on Thursdays, but Thursdays are when you have the housing numbers come out, you tend to have the census numbers come out, you tend to have the updates from the Commerce Department come out. All kinds of stuff happens on Thursdays, and this way you'll get that information smack into your mailbox for free as part of our free weekly news update, and I'd be happy to have you along for the ride. So just go to thinklink.com. That's the website. Hasn't changed. Thinklink.com. Sign up for the newsletter. You'll get that, plus the news alerts on Thursdays. So Mondays and Thursdays, we'll be putting some things in your inbox. Happy to have you along for the ride. 404-872-0750. Chris joins me on the line. Hi, Chris.
Hey, good morning, Elise, and happy new year to you. I have a question. We are getting ready to put our house on the market in Douglasville.
Mm-hmm.
And this week I have some realtors, three different realtors coming out to talk to me about listing with them, and I'm just wondering what are the very best questions I should be asking.
So I love that you're asking this question before you have these realtors come out. That's just great. So are they coming out to do comparative marketing analyses for you?
Well, I hope not.
Why not?
Well, I kind of have a figure in mind, and that's the other thing I was going to ask you. I know that they're going to ask, have we had an appraisal done? And we did, and it was probably 2 or 3 years ago, and it appraised for $275.
Mm-hmm. You know that something that's 3 years, 2 or 3 years old is completely irrelevant.
Exactly.
Okay. So if they ask you if you've had an appraisal done, your answer is not in the last 4 months.
Okay.
Because we saw last year property prices zoom up almost as much in a single year as they ever have ever since this has been people have been keeping track of this.
Really?
Really. Even in Atlanta. Now, I don't know which part of Douglasville you're in, and everything about real estate is local, local, local. However, even in Atlanta, or in fact, especially Atlanta, greater Atlanta saw a huge increase in prices overall. And so even in the last 6 months, there's just been a jump in prices. There was a jump in the number of people interested. And, you know, mortgage interest rates are still near historic lows. And so property prices have gone up. But when I asked you about a comparative marketing analysis, you shouldn't be afraid of this. This is a service that real estate agents should provide to you. And you should want them to do it, because what this does, the CMA does, is each of these realtors goes into their computer systems and they determine, based on what has sold in the last 4 to 6 months, or even more recently, in your direct neighborhood, what they think the list price should be. Now, years ago, I did this for the first time, and it was so interesting because I found a property that somebody wanted to sell. I invited the realtors in. I asked them to do a CMA. They came in, and they came up with three entirely different prices. In fact, the price points that they came up with were so different, there was about $100,000 in between, and that was for a property priced at about $400,000 or $500,000. One was high, one was low, one was in the middle. But unlike the three bears, the one in the middle wasn't necessarily the right one. So, this is the real world. You want their expertise. And the only way you're going to know if they actually have the expertise that you need and are willing to do the work that's necessary to give you the best possible customer service is to ask them to come to the house, take a tour, go back and do a comparative marketing analysis, come back a second time, and present it to you. Then you're going to see whether the number that you have in mind, and I haven't asked you yet what that number is, but I'm going to ask you in just a moment what that number is, if that number is reasonable or not. And that will tell you if you fall into one of the three categories that I give every seller. Do you want to know what those are?
Please.
Okay. You are either a realist, meaning that you are fully prepared to accept the real value of the property, whether it's higher or lower or right at where you think it should be.
Uh-huh.
Or you are a pie-in-the-sky seller. You have a number, and you don't care where else any of these other numbers come in, and you don't care how good the data is, and you don't care what it says. You think your house is worth whatever it's worth, and that's the price you want to start at.
And what did you call that one?
That's pie-in-the-sky.
Oh, okay.
You can be blueberry pie if you like, but pie in the sky. Third one is desperate and anxious. The desperate and anxious sellers are the ones who absolutely have to sell, and they are willing to price below the market to push the market to come to them because they want to sell as quickly as possible. So you have realists, you've got pie in the sky, and you've got desperate and anxious. So which are you?
Well, I'm going to say that I am a pie in the sky living beside two houses who were the third category and sold low because they were desperate. There are only 20 houses in our subdivision. We're uh-huh. in a remote area. And so with only 20 houses and two of them being foreclosed,
okay,
then that's not a good thing for me.
No,
you know what
not.
I'm saying. No.
So, is anything else on the market right now, and how long ago did those two homes sell for?
Just within the last 2 months.
Okay, and what did they sell for?
They sold for low twos, like 220 and 230, I think.
Okay, and what do you think your house is really worth?
I think it's worth 285 is what I would like to ask and take less, but I want to ask at least 285.
And why do you want to ask that?
Well, the homes in the area have been, you know, the ones that were, it's a very established neighborhood, and most of them are $400,000 and $500,000 homes.
Mm-hmm.
Ours was on the market probably, we were going to put it on the market for $400,000 about 5 years ago, but that has all dwindled. So it's a stucco home, you know, six bedrooms, full basement, fire, you know, all that. But I know that the appraisal would probably come in less because of those two homes. They sold for that, although we know the home since there's only that little amount in there, and they require a lot of work. They were in very
right.
bad
so
shape.
So they're, because people who are going into foreclosure typically don't have the money to keep up their homes. So that's a
right.
good thing, right? But if they're six-bedroom homes and they sold for $230,000 and with $20,000 worth of work, they would have been in perfect shape, and that would bring them to $250,000. Asking $285,000 might be a little high. And the reason I say that, and it might be not, it might be very reasonable if you said to me, well, they needed new roofs, they needed new paint, they needed carpet.
They weren't six-bedroom homes. Mine is. Theirs were less. I do feel like ours is quite a bit more of a house than theirs were. It's,
well, that's
you know,
why,
bigger and
Got it. So that's why you want these realtors to come in and actually tour your home before you want them to, before they actually do the CMA. So they want to see, you've got to see, let them see how what great shape your property's in, and you want to let them see what's going on with, you know, how big it is and how nicely it's put together and blah, blah, blah. And you want to make the point that these other homes were not those, they were foreclosures and they desperately needed work, probably $30,000, $40,000. And so you think $285,000, $290,000 is right. But before, I wouldn't even give them your price until they come back with what they think their price is and what they think it, they
that
can sell
was,
it at.
That was where I was, that's what I was wondering specifically is, should I mention that or should I let them come back?
You don't want to color the water.
Okay.
You let them come back first, and then you can have a conversation with them about where you think the price should be. But I would not give that away up front. I would let them do the work
and come back. We have a beautiful creek running the complete length of it. That is a, it's a constantly running. It doesn't dry up during a drought. It erupts very close, half a mile from our property, so it's clean water and whatever. So, you know, I kind of think that's a plus as well.
You think that's a plus, but some other people might think that's a minus.
A minus, especially like, if they had children.
Yeah, so I wouldn't even bring that up. You asked me what the most important questions are to ask, and it's, what do you think my house is worth? We've had some foreclosures. This is the paperwork from it.
Mm-hmm.
Go and do it. Would you do a comparative marketing analysis and tell me what you think it's worth? We've got three brokers coming in. And if they, you want to make sure they work in the neighborhood and they do, you know, that they really understand what's going on in the immediate neighborhood, but also in the slightly larger area, and ask those questions about it. Have them come back and then decide who it is through the conversation that you feel you're doing the best with. And at thinklink.com, if you type in broker questions, I can also tweet this out online. I have loads of stories about the specific questions. There's 20, 30 of them. You should ask these realtors to make sure you are getting the very best deal. Thanks for your call, Chris. I'm Elise Glink, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live and here to guide you through your money and real estate questions. Only on 95.5 FM and AM 750, News Talk WSB.
23 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. On News Talk WSB. Stay tuned to News Talk WSB for all of the latest information on weather and traffic. We have some really cold weather coming down the pipe. Hey, not as cold as that football game is going to be later this afternoon up in Detroit. Coldest football game ever. Boy, am I glad I'm not there. And did you hear this is like the first football game in Detroit that hasn't been sold out in maybe 10 or 20 years? No wonder. I would rather watch it on replay as well. But stay tuned. We will have all the news, weather, and traffic for you that you need this cold, cold January here on News Talk WSB. 404-872-0750. Boyd joins me on the line from Athens. So, Boyd, we've been talking during the show about best ways to save money. What are some of your favorite ways to save money?
Well, Elise, thanks for taking the call. I want to tell you, I'm a realtor and a licensed contractor, so I appreciate your perspective on the real estate market on a weekly basis.
Thank you.
It's something we've been doing for probably a decade that I try to talk my friends into, and I don't understand why they don't enable it more often. Is, and I don't know if we should say this, but I've got a Capital One Visa card, and it's a double points card. And being a businessman, we spend a good bit of money from the business on one card. But even as a consumer, we charge everything that we possibly can on our card: groceries, utilities, purchases, the convenience. I mean, anything that, even a dollar. Because this past fall, we took the family on a trip to New York, and by utilizing those points, and you get double points, the four airline tickets and a hotel room in downtown New York were all paid for with the Capital One points.
Well, I think that's a great idea. And we actually do a very similar sort of thing where we've got our business credit card that we charge everything on for the business. And that gives us extra money that we can put back into the business. And then from Costco, we're Black Card members, Executive Club members, so we get more money back that way. And we have an Amex card that gives us $2 for every 2% on every purchase we make, in addition to the 2% we get back from Costco. So if you add up all that savings, you're right. It adds up to some very, very serious dollars. The other thing we've started to do is charge more on the cashback cards because they've gotten to be a better deal than the mileage. We used to do a lot of mileage cards because if you would fly, the cost of flying was such that it really paid. And today, the cost of flying doesn't pay as much unless you're going abroad internationally, and then it really pays. But getting the two percent back does a whole lot more. So I think it's a terrific way of doing it, and I'm glad that you're still doing it and you're still making money from it. And thank you for sharing, Boyd. And thanks for listening to the show. 404-872-0750. I want to hear from you this year. If you've never called the show, pick up the phone. Call 404-872-0750. Be a part of what we're doing here in the Elise Kling Show. Help me rebuild America one house at a time, starting with yours. I promise that you won't be sorry. Follow me on Twitter at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K, and sign up for the new weekly newsletter and news alert on Thursday mornings here on News Talk WSB. Just go to thinklink.com. Sign up, and it's going to pop into your new inbox. Great information that you can't get anywhere else, only from thinklink.com. 404-872-0750. We'll be back in a moment with more, and we've got a prize pack to give away, the first one for 2014 on News Talk WSB. Welcome back, everybody, to the 2014 edition of the Elise Kling Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, and we are starting with yours here on News Talk WSB. Call now, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. If you are not already following me on Twitter, you should be. I'm at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. See what we've got over for sale at the thinklink.com store. Check it out. All great information for people who are buying, selling, fixing up, or financing their homes this year. We have a weekend prize pack we're going to give away right now from McDonald's. It includes a four-pack of tickets to the Progressive Insurance Atlanta Boat Show, January 9th through the 12th at the Georgia World Congress Center, and a family four-pack of tickets to Monster Jam on January 11th at the Georgia Dome. Prize pack value for this year, or at least this one, $128. And it can be yours if you're the fifth caller, 404-741-0750. 404-741-0750. Be nice to Crystal. She's the one who's going to take your call. 37 minutes past the hour on the Elise Kling Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. Let's go to the phones. Dee Dee joins me on the line. Hey, Dee Dee, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
Before I tell you my problem, can I just say that I talked to you earlier, last year I believe it was, and you gave me some good advice because I was selling a house on my own,
uh-huh.
And you said the buyer sounded like a charlatan.
Uh-huh. Were they?
You were so right. I had to go to court to get him out.
Oh, no.
And he tried to destroy the place before he left. But anyway, I appreciate you, and that's why I was waiting to talk to you again, because I have this problem where I had purchased one of these, we had purchased a condo, right?
Uh-huh.
It didn't cost $26,000. It's in a very poor area, and everybody knows about the area.
Okay.
But the problem is, I kept it for over 10 years, and I had contacted the bank about allow me to do a deed in lieu of foreclosure.
Okay.
And they said it would take, you know, anywhere from 3 to 6 months to get it done. And I talked to people who have been waiting 2 years to get it done, and not just one, but several.
Right.
Okay, so but what happened is I found out that it could be done, so we did it. In January, it was recorded in DeKalb County. February, they sent it to their correspondence address, and they accepted it from the post office on February 28th. And on June the 6th, they sold it to another banking company under our name, okay? And now they're threatening to foreclose on us.
So let me just ask you a question.
How can that be?
Okay, so it's now January.
Yes.
In June, they sold it under your name.
They
what?
Sold them. Yeah.
Why are you calling me now, 7 months later?
Well,
what have you been,
it just happened
what
that, if, that I thought that it was all taken care of, and now they're starting to let me know that they're foreclosing on me everything. And
so,
when I did it at first, I didn't have any idea.
Okay.
Because I thought, how can you rescind a deed
you
that
can't.
Has been
you can't. Do you have a copy?
And received.
Right. So did you send them a copy of the recorded deed?
Oh, I sent both. I sent the original bank a copy immediately, because they're the ones who received it.
Okay.
The certified mail. And then when this other company came into the picture and started harassing me about payment, I sent them a copy of it and sent them a litany of the dates where everything had taken place.
And have you heard back from them?
Oh, have I ever.
And what did they say?
They said that the original bank told them, the mega bank told them that it was never finalized.
Okay. What is the name of the bank, the original bank?
Bank of America.
Great. So here's what I need you to do. I can help you with this.
Okay.
So this to me sounds like a mess of paperwork. And if you could imagine that there are 5 or 7 million houses across America, Bank of America has a large chunk of those. And
from Countrywide, yes.
From Countrywide and from something else, right? So
okay.
Everybody's still cleaning up this mess. This sounds to me like just a paper mistake. So what I want you to do, do you have a pencil and paper?
I do.
I want you to send me an email to questions@thinklink.com. Questions@thinklink.com. And I want you to send me the information that includes the address of the property in question, the date of the recorded deed, the loan number, and your complete contact information.
Okay.
And I'm going to forward that to a special group way high up at Bank of America, and I'm going to ask them to research it for you.
Okay.
Because it sounds to me like if it was recorded, it's done. And they accepted it, it's done, and they just, their paperwork never tied it out at the end. So they sold it, and there's nothing to come back at you for because they did a deed in lieu of foreclosure, and so they took the property back. So it should be clean. But we'll find out if there's another problem. So you just send me all that information to questions@thinklink.com, and I'll forward it to Bank of America, and we'll see if we can't get this straightened out for you as well, Dee Dee. I want to bat 1,000 with you. We're already, you know, 1 for 1. Let's see if we can make it 2 for 2.
I really appreciate this. Oh, my God. You don't know how much I appreciate this.
Well, I want you to sleep well at night, and I know that this can be the kind of thing that's going to keep you awake, and I don't want that to be the case for you.
Okay.
All right?
I really appreciate you. God bless. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Dee Dee. You take care. Happy New Year, and you be in touch with me. 42 minutes past the hour on the Elise Kling Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones. Linda joins me on the line from Jonesboro. Hi, Linda.
Hello, Elise. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you. I'm fine.
Yeah.
My husband and I, we're getting ready to buy our first home using his VA loan. And although we know we don't have to put a down payment down, but we have managed to save up $10,000 for a down payment. So we're now trying to think, as far as this money, how would we get the best benefit out of this $10,000? Would we put that down as a down payment or wait until we move into the house and put it toward increment payments toward the principal?
You will have the best use of the money by putting it as a down payment now. How much is the house going to cost you?
$240,000.
So you're not even talking about, it's about an 8% down payment?
Mm-hmm.
And even an 8% down payment is better than a 0% down payment.
Okay.
So the fees that you'll pay will be a little bit less.
Mm-hmm.
There may be a benefit in the interest rate, but in any case, you're going to pay less money in interest overall,
mm-hmm,
because you've already got this 8% in cash.
Okay.
So I would definitely put it down up front. Now, I'm asking that, but I also want to understand if you have extra cash set aside, because when you move into the property, you and I both know there's going to be things you want to do to it.
Right.
So do you have extra cash on hand for fixing up and doing all the rest of the things you want to do?
Yes.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
So then I would do that. And then what I would do is try and find other ways in your budget to be able to save enough so that you can make one extra payment a year.
Okay. We already planned that also.
Awesome. Everybody's one step ahead of me today. This is so great. So just by doing that, you're going to be able to go from a 30-year to about a 23-year loan.
Uh-huh.
Which is fantastic.
Okay.
And that's going to save you more money over time. And if you have even more cash, I would throw a little extra cash at it, because the faster that you can get to a 20% down payment,
mm-hmm.
the cheaper your loan is going to be for you overall.
Okay.
And that should be your goal, is to have 20% in equity in the property just as fast as you possibly can,
mm-hmm.
so that you're not paying any more of the government's version of private mortgage insurance,
mm-hmm.
and you can refinance if you need to, and you just have that comfort of knowing that you're not 100% financed in this property.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Happy New Year, and I hope it goes well for you. Good luck on the closing. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Let's see, Tara joins me on the line from Snellville. Hi, Tara.
Hello.
How are you?
Thanks for taking my call. Wonderful. I just have a really quick question. My husband and I are talking about remodeling our master bath. Well, he wants to remove our garden tub and make a walk-in shower,
mm-hmm.
And because we have a very small shower now. By doing that, we would eliminate the shower that we have and expand the vanity to a double sink. Will that depreciate the value by not having that garden tub in the master bath?
So what do you mean by a garden tub, like a soaking tub?
Yeah, a big tub.
A big oversized tub?
Yeah.
So do you have a bathtub anywhere else in the house?
Yes, the guest bath has the bath in it.
So I'm going to say to you, it's probably only a benefit to take out a soaking tub that have two sinks. Like, you're kind of focused on the shower. I think having a really fabulous walk-in shower is key, especially if somebody's a senior and has mobility issues, because being able to walk into a shower is a whole lot easier than getting into a bathtub.
Yeah.
So that's probably a benefit. And what I found is that as long as there's one other bathtub in the house, if you have a young family that comes in or a family with little kids, they want to bathe their kids in a bathtub, right? Because that's just easier.
Right.
And when your kids are grumpy, the best thing to do is to stick them in water.
Yeah.
So, like my boys, Alex and Michael, when they were little and they would get grumpy and irritable with each other and it was a long, cold winter evening, we would stick them in a bath and put in some soap suds, and, man, they were happy as clams. And so you always want to have a bathtub. As long as you've got one, even in the hallway, I don't think you need one in your master bath. But I know, and I'm sure other people are listening, nodding at the same time, simply having two vanities, right, so that you and your spouse or partner don't have to share.
Exactly.
That is worth so much. So I think you're going to, instead of, you're worried about it reducing the value, I think it might increase the value.
Wonderful.
So
wonderful.
I think you should move forward with it, and happy bathing.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Tara. You too. Happy New Year. 48 minutes past the hour on the Elise Kling Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. Our number, 404-872-0750, at Glink on Twitter, at GLINK, and I'll be back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on anytime at ClarkHoward.com and midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on 95.5 FM and AM 750, News Talk WSB.
54 minutes past the hour. It's January 5th, 2014. So glad you could join me today on the Elise Kling Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. We still have some time to take a couple of questions, so let's get to it. Amanda joins me on the line. Hey, Amanda. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
You're more than welcome. How can I help today?
Basically, my husband and I are looking for a bigger home because we're planning on expanding our family,
mm-hmm.
and we've outgrown our little ranch. And so we were trying to figure out the best way to pay for it, whether to pay cash for a lower cost home out of our 401k because we're both in our early 30s, or take, we have a tremendous amount of equity in the home that we have, so we've paid it down, or take out a second loan on that house and create a second mortgage, or what is our best option?
Well, are you going to keep the house you're in now?
No, we're going to sell it.
So, okay, so let me just start with the worst idea.
Mm-hmm.
You have so many options. The very worst thing you could do is take money out of your 401k.
Okay.
So just take that off the table. Because you do that, then you're going to owe taxes on that money. So that's just silly, right? You might as well just start lighting $100 bills on fire. So that table, that gets off the table.
Okay.
If you're not going to keep the house, then what you should do is start to sell the house or think about selling it. Try and figure out about how much cash you'll have. And then buy a new house. Put at least 20 or 30 or 40% down. Heck, I don't care. Put 50% down. And get the rest at a mortgage. And the reason I say that is because interest rates are so low right now.
Right.
Four and a half percent.
Our lender.
Yeah. What did the lender offer you?
He said that we could, if we get a 30-year or 15-year fix, that we could get a 2.9 or 3.2%.
Well, that's unbelievable. Like, I would almost take out an 80% mortgage. So you don't want to pay private mortgage insurance.
Right, that's what we're trying to avoid.
Yeah, so you don't pay that. You've got 20% down for sure. And you take out a 15-year loan at 3.2%. I promise you, in 5 years, you're going to say, wow, that was an amazing interest rate. I'm so glad we have that locked in. Because you don't want to keep cash in an account where it earns 0.5%. So if you can actually use the cash you have as the down payment, and then you get this 3.2% 15-year loan, that's fantastic. And then everything else should go into either increasing your 401ks at work, or you can put more money into your savings, or you can put more money into, it, let's say, a Roth IRA if you're not maxing that out. There are all kinds of other places to put cash that will do better for you over time. But this is a unique opportunity for you to set yourself up with a fixed payment for the next 15 years. And if you prepay even some of that, it probably could bring it down to 11 years, be completely done with your mortgage, and you're living in the house that you want to live in that'll be almost completely paid for by the time your kids go to school, or totally paid off by the time your kids go to school. And then you're going to have no trouble at all paying for college tuition.
Right.
So all in all, it sounds like you've got your act together, and it's just going to be terrific.
How do you balance the time and the money between if we want to buy our house first and we can't sell our house for a few months down the road?
So you can take out a second mortgage. Mm-hmm. You have to do it, though, before you list your house for sale.
Okay.
And just have the cash on hand. And that's how you would do it. Or if you've
all
got
right.
cash and savings, or if you've got the 401k, this is where you might borrow from the 401k.
Okay.
So you're just borrowing it for a very short period of time, using it as kind of your own bridge loan. It's just cheaper than a bridge loan. And then when you actually sell and close and you move it back in, you move into the new house, your other house is closed, you just repay it. And, of course, you're repaying yourself, and they'll probably charge you 3 or 4 or 5% interest, but you're repaying it to yourself, which is great. So that's the only reason you would tap into a 401k, and that might make some sense for you. But if not, I would try a home equity line of credit, which you ought to be able to get very easily on the first home, again, before you've listed it, and then use it for the new house. Our time is up. The music's starting. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Elise Kling Show, Rebuilding America, One House at a Time. Larry, thank you for holding. You can email me at questions@thinkglink.com. I'm Elise Kling. Have a great week, everybody. I'll talk to you again next Sunday on News Talk WSB.